Please turn with me in your Bibles to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3 and the very last verse of the chapter, verse 26. Acts chapter 3 and verse 26. Unto you first, God, having raised up his Son Jesus, sent him to bless you, in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. And our subject this morning is the blessing of repentance. The blessing of repentance. Now, these words are the words of the Apostle Peter, and of course many of you are very, very well aware of who he is, the disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, Simon Peter, who walked with the Lord during his earthly ministry. He was an eyewitness of all that the Lord did and said, an eyewitness of his majesty. He walked with the Lord Jesus Christ himself. But at this point in history, in the book of Acts, well, the Lord Jesus Christ, he has died. He has risen again from the grave. He has appeared to his disciples, the risen Lord, the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. And, well, the resurrected Lord, he gave the disciples a great commandment, a great commission, a commandment to go out to every nation with the gospel. That was the great commandment to the disciples, to the apostles. Go out with the gospel message. Tell everybody about the gospel, because everybody needs the gospel. If we are to be made right with God, we need this gospel. If our souls are to be saved, we need this gospel. So go out. Don't keep it to yourself. Go and tell everyone you meet. Go to all the nations. That was the great commission given by the Lord Jesus Christ to the disciples, the apostles, and that's exactly what they did. But they start in Jerusalem, and well, the first chapters of the book of Acts focus on the apostles and their work in Jerusalem. Chapter 2, we won't go into it, but well, we have the day of Pentecost, the famous day of Pentecost, when the Apostle Peter gives a tremendous sermon, and 3,000 people on that day are saved. That, of course, is exceptional. We spoke not so long ago that it's unusual in this day and age that people hear the gospel, and as soon as they hear the gospel, they are saved. That's unusual in this day and age, but these were exceptional times. These were miraculous times, the apostolic times of the early church. And well, even the apostles, they had the miraculous healing powers of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were able to heal, just as the Lord Jesus Christ had healed. And we read in our scripture reading about how Peter and John, will they heal a lame man laid at the gate of the temple? And well, he had been begging there every day, and he asked Peter for money, as he asks everyone for money, for silver and gold. And then in verse 6, Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. This man who had been lame since birth, he had never walked, lame from the womb, now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, he was able to walk, he was able to leap, and everybody who saw it was utterly amazed. So that's the context in which we get these words. Everybody is amazed, and so Peter preaches to them concerning the gospel, concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. He says many things again, so much we could mention about how the prophet spoke of the Lord, how he would suffer, how Moses himself spoke of the Lord Jesus Christ. But verse 26, we come to the end of the chapter. Unto you first, God, having raised up his Son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. The Lord Jesus Christ had been born into the nation of Israel, but he would be a blessing to all nations, all nations. And what is the nature of his blessing? Well, we have it here at the end of verse 26. In turning away every one of you from his iniquities. That's the blessing of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turning us away from our sins, from our iniquities. And this is a wonderful description of repentance. Repentance. That's what repentance is. Maybe you've heard the word many times and you don't understand what it is, but it's a turning away from sin. It's a turning point in your life. Repentance. Not many people speak about repentance nowadays. Churches seem to avoid mention of it, but this is the message that the apostles gave. This is the message that the Lord Jesus Christ gave. If you look at the first words of the Lord Jesus Christ in his preaching ministry, his first word is repent. Repent above anything else. And even in this chapter, verse 19, the Apostle Peter says, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. The apostles preached repentance as a vital part of conversion. If you are to be called a true Christian, in other words, you ought to know repentance. If you don't know repentance, well, then you can't truly say you're a Christian. If nothing in your life has changed at all, well, then are you really converted? Repent ye therefore and be converted. They're the same thing. They're two sides of the same coin. So we have to spend time on this word repentance because it's so important to get this right. But what is repentance? Well, as I've mentioned, it's a turning away, a turning point, if you like, a great turning point in the life of a Christian. Now, we all have turning points in our lives, even if you're not a Christian. Some of us who are of a certain age, well, we can look back through our lives and see great turning points. For some people, well, perhaps for youngsters, this is a turning point. Some people say that when they go to university, that was the great turning point of their lives because of the people they met, because of the things they studied. That was a great turning point. Others say, when I got married, that was the great turning point in my life. I'd spent so many years on my own. I got married. Nothing was the same again. That was a great turning point. My life changed. Others say when they became parents, when my child was born, that was the great turning point in my life. Nothing was the same ever again. So there are great turning points in the lives of each and every one of us when our lives changed. And they were never the same again. By the way, sometimes you have bad turning points. Turning points are not always good. You have bad turning points. I was speaking to someone recently about an old gentleman. He's no longer with us. But I heard that his son, after this old gentleman passed away, he was speaking about his life. And he spoke about a bad turning point. There was one day in his life when his daughter died in a car crash. The father and the daughter, they had had a very bad row, a very bad argument, and the daughter had gone off in her car in a great state, and she had crashed and died. And that man was never the same again. That was a turning point in his life. It wasn't a good turning point. It was a bad turning point. But that, nonetheless, was a turning point. His life was never the same again. And many people have those types of turning points, sadly. Those times of calamity and bereavements, sickness, great turning points. And in fact, some people, well, those turning points, they actually turn people away from God. We often meet people when we're doing our evangelizing, knocking on the doors. We say, do you follow Christ? Do you know God? And they say, oh no, I don't believe in God. I don't follow God anymore because, he took my son away from me. I was bereaved of my son. That's why I don't believe in God. Or he took my father away from me. Or my brother died. That's why I don't believe. It's a turning point that turns you against God. So many people are like that. So many people, why do they not believe in God? Well, it's not because they've reasoned it out in their minds. It's not because they've weighed it all up. It's because something has happened to them. A turning point that has turned them against God. That's so often the case. And it's very sad. Is that perhaps any one of you here? Something has happened in your life and it's turned you against God. That's very sad. But it's not too late, of course, to turn back to God. It's never too late. That's the beauty of the gospel. Repentance is always available if we ask for it. And of course, repentance, godly repentance, is the only thing that turns us back to God. The only thing that turns us towards God is repentance. Nothing else in our lives. So this is the first thing we ought to mention. Repentance is a great turning point. But, the word repentance, and I'm sure I've mentioned this to you many times, the Greek word repentance, it literally means a change of mind. A change of mind. That's what repentance really is. Once you have your mind changed, then your conduct changes. But it starts with the mind. Repentance, the Greek word metanoia, means that change of mind. And that's certainly what happens when Christians are converted. They change their minds about spiritual things. They change their minds about the Word of God. When somebody first comes to the Word of God, they have all sorts of ideas about the Word of God. Oh, this Word of God, it's just all stories. It's all fictional. It's all man-made. It's all outdated anyway. Even if there's any truth in it, it's all outdated. It's all irrelevant. In fact, there are some parts that are downright evil and wicked. Many people have that mind about the Bible. That's what they think about the Bible. But you know, when you draw near to the Word of God and you actually start to read it, then your mind actually begins to change. You start to read about God. You start to read about His kindness, about His mercy, about how He deals with people, about His faithfulness. Even when we are unfaithful, God is faithful. And you start to change your mind. This God is not a wicked God. There is so much beauty in Him. There is so much truth in Him. You start to change your mind about God. You read in the New Testament the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you think to yourself, well, no man could have written this. In the Gospels, we read that those who heard the Lord Jesus Christ, they said, no man spake like this man. And that's what happens when you start to read the Word of God. Your mind starts to change. And you understand that this is truly the Word of God. Your mind starts to change about your own life. About your own life. You start to think about things you never thought of before. About the meaning of life, who we really are, why the human race is as it is, why you are the way you are. You start to think about eternity. You start to think about the soul. You never thought about those things before. But when you draw near to God, your mind starts to change. Repentance, this is what it is to repent. Repentance changes your mind. And I can even extend it a bit further by saying that repentance actually frees your mind. It actually frees your mind so that you can think clearly. You know, if you ever want a people or a nation to be weak-minded, you do away with the Bible. If you want to control people, I know people say it's the other way around, but if you want to control people, you don't ever show them the Bible. You know, you look back through history, and particularly modern history, you look at all the great dictatorships, Nazi Germany and the communist regime, even North Korea nowadays, and you see they have one particular trait. They suppress the Bible, and they suppress the preaching of the Bible. Because they know that if you do that, you have weak-minded people, people who don't think. You can control them easier. So we have to keep the Bible out of the way. Don't give them the Bible. Don't let them hear any preaching, because the Word of God actually frees your mind. Christian people are always people who have finally begun to think. And well, we talk about dictatorships, but even in this land and nation, the Bible is being put to one side. Why? Because the media wants to control us. The government wants to control us. There are so many people in this society who never think. They just hear what the media says and they just take it on board. Oh, well, the media says this, it must be right. I'm not going to think about it any further. They can't think about it because the Bible is out of sight. This Word of God, it actually frees your mind. And this is repentance. Repentance is a blessing. It's nothing to be afraid of, nothing to be ashamed of. And these things, well, they are glorious. We must embrace repentance. But repentance, well, it is a change of mind, but it's also a change of action, as I mentioned earlier. Unto you first God, having raised up his Son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. Repentance is a change of action, a change of behavior. Somebody who has repented departs from their sins. No longer sins. And this is so important. We must repent if we are Christian people. And well, this is so hard for us to do. It's impossible if you don't know the Lord. The Bible teaches us that we are all sinners. We know that. But the Bible teaches us also that we enjoy our sin. There is a sense in which we love our sin. We love doing our own things. We love being naughty. We love breaking the rules. We love our sins. That's what iniquity means. It's that deep-seated desire to do our own will. That's why people don't like Christianity. They don't want Christianity because they instinctively know that if you become a Christian, oh, I won't be able to do my favorite sins anymore. I'll have to put them to one side. That's why people don't like to hear gospel preaching. They know that they have to give up their sin. I remember speaking to one lady, again, when we were out evangelizing, and we were speaking about the gospel, and she liked the gospel. She liked the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, but she hated repentance. She hated repentance. I spoke to her about we have to come away from the world. And she said, but I like getting drunk. I like going out with my friends. I like doing things I'm not supposed to do. You see, she liked the gospel, but she hated repentance. Dear friends, you can't have both. You can't have both the world and God. Somebody who has repented has chosen the Lord. I will live for him. He is my God. He is my Lord. You see, when we repent, we change our mind over sin. Somebody who has repented, he no longer loves his sin. He hates his sin. He hates his sin. He knows that it's the source of his sorrow and all his grief. All the problems in his life has come from his own sin. If you think back over your lives, you think back over the greatest problems in your life. And can you not see that it's your own sin? Perhaps it was your own selfishness. Perhaps it was you and your stubbornness. Perhaps it was your pride that led you into such a terrible mistake. Perhaps it was your covetousness. I must have more and more and more. Perhaps it was your lust that led you into a great mistake. Sin is the greatest problem in your life. Your mind has changed. It's not the thing that you love. is the thing that you hate the most and you desire to turn away from it. That is true biblical repentance. Dear friends, we must teach these things. But how can I repent? You know, this is a great problem for some people. This is what stops people from becoming Christian. I know I have to repent, but how? How do I repent? I know I can't give up the things that I love. I've tried to, perhaps, in my life, but I can't give them up. How can I repent? Well, you see, this is how repentance works. You come to God, you come and you seek Christ, and you will be given the power to repent. God works that work in you that you are given the power to repent. This is what the cross means. The Lord Jesus Christ, we know, he died on the cross to take the punishment for our sin. But also he died to take away the power of sin in our lives. We become new creations. We are new people. Just like Christ, we die to ourselves and we are made new people. Gone is that old person. If I can take myself, for example, this was one of my great worries when I came to the Lord. Lord, I'll never be good enough to be a Christian. Never, ever, ever. But I didn't realize that God would make me a new person, a new creation. Gone was the old weak person who would always give in to temptation. He was gone. He was dead. Now I was a new creation in Christ. That's what it is to be born again. You die first and you are born a stronger person. God works in you and you are able to resist temptation. You're able to live a holy life because you're a new person. That's how repentance works. So we never fear to come to the Lord and repent and have faith. So these things we trust in, and we must examine ourselves to know if we have truly repented, because as I have mentioned, we cannot say we are true Christians without repentance. But one final thing that we have to say, and this is a glorious thing, repentance, well, it's a change of mind, it's a change of action, but it's a change of destination also. A change of destination. And I'm speaking about our eternal destination, where we will spend eternity. Repentance changes all of that. There is a tremendous parable in the Gospel according to Luke. You know it so well. The parable of the lost son, the prodigal son, as it is more commonly known. And well, we know the narrative. A son leaves his father. He takes all his inheritance, he goes off and spends it, squanders all that money on sinful living. But then what happens? Well, then he falls into hard times and he has to take a job feeding pigs. And he gets so hungry that he has to eat the same food as the pigs eat. He is brought to a place of humiliation and shame. And then suddenly one day he comes to himself and says, I will go back. I will go back to my father and say, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against thee. I will go back. I will change my direction. I will stop running from my father. I will go back to my father. That is a wonderful picture of repentance. That's what we see in Luke chapter 15. Repentance. Well, is that you? If you've never repented, you're running away from your father in heaven. If you've never repented, you're running away from your father in heaven who has given you everything, who has given you your life, who has given you your strength, your health, your breath, your parents. If you refuse to repent, you're running away from your father. And if you continue to run, well, just like the lost son, you'll be in a place of humiliation and shame forever. An eternal place of humiliation and shame. There'll be no chance to repent. You must turn You must have that turning point, that change of destination, that change of direction. Go back to the Lord your God. Go back to your Father. Return home, as it were. That is where we belong as people. Yes, we are lost in this world. We are lost sinners. But if we are ever to find our way home, we must go back to God. That's where you truly belong. That's where God desires you to be, not lost in this world, not looking for the empty pleasures of this world. That's not where you belong. You belong with God your Father, and for eternity in heaven. That's where you truly belong. You belong in a life of holiness, knowing the peace and joy that it brings, not falling into sin and error and sorrow and grief. You belong with God your Father. Are you not going to hear him this day and turn your life around? Lord, I come. I'm coming home. And I will forever dwell in your house. That's the promise given. The Lord Jesus Christ has made this possible for us. If you only turn, God will receive you. Even while you're a long way off, that's what he did to the prodigal son. So just turn to him. Make even this day your blessed turning point. Well, these things, they're all included in this doctrine of repentance and in this 26th verse. Unto you first God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you. Repentance is a blessing in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. Waste no more time, dear friends. If you are lost, begin to make that journey home even this day. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, our gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, O Lord, we thank thee that there is that way back to God from the dark paths of sin. There is that door that is open and we may go in. At Calvary's cross is where we begin when we come as a sinner to Jesus. O dear Lord, help us to turn. We need thy strength. We cannot repent of ourselves. Work in us, dear Lord. Help us to trust in thee. Help us to know that thou shalt make us new people, stronger people, loving thee, loving holiness and hating sin. Help us to trust in thee. And even this day, to desire in our hearts to follow the Lord all the days of our lives. We ask it all in his name and for his sake. Amen.